Turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money
at Menards. Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
What's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings, and Keith is in the car. So, hi, Keith.
Hi, Caleb.
If you so for the
people, we're doing wonderful moving stuff.
Yes, the Bleecker Street friggin' publications, one of the sponsors of the show, along with Taurus USA, are moving to cool new offices, and Keith has to drive to get there. So if you're watching this and he suddenly disappears, it's because he's been murdered in Detroit area traffic. And if you're listening to this and he suddenly disappears, same reason, you just have to imagine it.
Just imagine my demise. It was colorful and dramatic as you can imagine.
Now, so before we get into the topic of today's episode, which is, if you've read the description, I do want to, you know, remind everybody, please go ahead and leave us a review on, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or friggin' Spotify. Those actually help. They're not crushing gun content on those platforms right now. And love if you're it. Watching this on Open Air Media, please share it with a friend or something like that. And I want to show Keith the crazy contraption that I bought because of... So if you guys have been following the revolver space recently, Midwest Industries, a noted accessory maker for lever action. Yeah, everything. But predominantly, I think of them as a lever action rifle accessory manufacturer. They recently made a stock that fits on all sorts of revolvers, but namely the Taurus Raging Hunter is one of them. And I happen to have a 10-inch Taurus Raging Hunter. And now when you put this brace or stock on it, it's extremely tempting to put your hand forward on the gun, not over the cylinder gap, because that would be insane and a really good way to hurt yourself. But the Raging Hunter has a rail on the bottom of it, and that rail on the bottom of it makes a really neat place to grab the gun with a second hand if you're going to shoot it like a rifle. Or it could be a place where you could attach an AFG or a hand stop if you wanted to shoot it like a rifle, which now that I have a stock for it and plan on SBRing it, I'm going to want to shoot it like a rifle. But Caleb, what are you going to do about the cylinder blast? Because at that distance, it's my forearm that would get hit by it, right? And it's not going to be – the gas pressure at that point is not going to be high enough, with my forearm being a good 6-7 inches away from the gun, to seriously injure me. But it will hurt and it will burn. So I went on Amazon and I bought bracers. Like you would have if you were shooting a bow and arrow, like an old school archery. And it is – ridiculous, but I'm so going to shoot the gun wearing this thing because I'm really curious about, like, I know that it won't, like, the worst case scenario is that I would get a little bit I would get cut essentially from the pressure, but now I have this leather bracer that I'm going to wear when I'm firing it, and I just,
if it is stupid but it works,
right,
it is, and not stupid.
And so guys, the reason why I went with leather obviously is, you know, leather has been used as protective material basically ever since we invented leather, right? It's thick, it's robust, it's relatively hard to cut through. I bought these off of Amazon, so they're pretty chintzy in terms of overall quality, but I don't need them to be good quality. I just need it to stop the percussion from hurting my forearm when I fire this damn thing. So
This really is kind of a proof of concept type thing to kind of a short barrel revolver rifle,
right.
cylinder rifle, because obviously longer barrels with traditional handguard, you're not going to have as much problem because naturally the crook of your arm is going to be far enough away from the gun, it'll be fine. Because your elbow is roughly there and you're all good. But with little ones, no, that's much closer to your wrist, which is the problem.
So I'm very curious about this. I am going to risk my body and my own well-being for the amusement of the internet with this project. There will probably
We
be
can
some.
call it science.
It
Let's call
is.
it
It is
science.
science. It's like it's Mythbusters science. So it's not really science, but it's science-y. Well, we'll say it's science adjacent. How's that sound? It's like,
It's science-like.
yeah, it's similar to science. Speaking of things that are similar to science, let's talk about the actual topic of this, which is how the numbers game in the gun industry, how so many things in the gun industry, like if you're presented a number, how it's, I'm not saying it's all bull
You either
crap
want the Depending on what you have, you want the biggest number or the
or the
smallest
smallest
number. And
number.
in this case, we're talking about one of the things with the smallest number. So,
So
Caleb?
we're talking about group size and MOA because every rifle that is manufactured today, especially every bolt gun that is manufactured today, comes with some sort of marketing claim or guarantee that it is sub MOA, right? And that is
And to be
completely
fair,
meaningless.
to be fair, many of them can back it up in very specific scenarios. They can.
Oh
They
yeah.
can. The
Well,
man,
hell.
the manu, the manufacturing is in many cases that good. However, when you go outside those circumstances, doesn't matter anymore. It's total bullshit.
Well, like
You
here's a
change
perfectly good example,
the
right?
parameters.
You know, when we were testing the Expedition, I shot sub MOA groups with my 308 Expedition and a Leupold scope off of a bag from the prone position at 100 yards with a very specific bullet and a very specific grain weight. Like I went through like 30 different, not 30, I went through a good 10 different projectile ammo combinations until I found one that it really, really liked and that it would consistently shoot sub MOA. That being said, it would shoot about a five, sh I could shoot a five shot group that was sub MOA. As the shooter, that was my limb fact. If I started to shoot more than five shots, it would open up because I, as the person, couldn't hold that level of consistency longer than those five rounds. I'm certain that if you clamped the rifle in a vise and had a robot shoot it and there were no externalities whatsoever, no wind, no temperature, no nothing, it would probably shoot sub MOA all day long.
Until it truly got too hot to maintain that group anymore. And it would probably still group fairly tight just because of the consistency and the manufacturing quality on that rifle. But yeah, the human factor is a big factor, and your ammunition is a big factor. And one of so what we're talking about, guys, happen the cloning your gun is minute of angle or sub minute of angle is 90-95% marketing bullshit. It's marketing hype, it's marketing bullshit. It is sub minute under a specific set of circumstances. And A, as soon as you go outside those circumstances, for like A, if we talk want to talk about AR or other 223, 556 guns, if you're shooting 55 grain ball or God forbid 62 grain tip, you're never going to get minute. You're
Well, let's
never
talk
going to
about that.
get sub
Let's talk
minute.
about that for a second because you know, I've seen people in the online community, especially like when it comes to ARs. Keith is currently glitching, so I have no idea if he'll be able to join into this conversation. But especially when it comes to ARs, say stuff like, well, I would only take an AR that's sub MOA accurate. And I'm like, okay, you know that most of them aren't, right? Like the spec for the M4, I think, is it's a 4 MOA gun with 62 grain ball amp, or it's the 62 grain green tip. It's a 4 MOA gun, and they kept that spec for the M4A1 with the M855A1. Like it's the gun, and there's this idea.
The M4A1 and the M4 are 4 minutes with M855 SS109 62 grain, and there's an additional 2 minute allowance for the shooter.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
You can shoot at 6 minute and it's considered fine.
Yeah. Well, that sounds about right. About a 6 minute gun. When I think, back to the
Why?
MOA
Because that's
conversation.
300 meters on a torso target.
Yeah. The MOA conversation is interesting too, because the obsession with having sub MOA guns is sort of our own fault in marketing, right? Like we did this to ourselves. We presented this idea that of MOA as the gold standard for your as the gold standard
for rifles in general. Like any rifle shooting a minute was like the thing you needed to do. And that gets really absurd when you talk about guns like anything in a revolver caliber, anything in like 40-70 or a lot of hunting rounds. Like those are 2 minute gun fine, like 2 minute perfect. It's fine. You don't have to go crazier than that.
I had a dude get in my DMs asking me, like expressing his frustration that his 9mm PCC wasn't shooting a minute at 50 yards. And I'm like, you want a 9mm PCC to shoot half an inch at 50 yards, just like a off the bench, like just,
do you know what the standard of the MP5 is?
It's like
you know what
inches.
The standard of the MP5 is? It's 3 inches at 25.
Yeah.
6 inches at 50. Three inches at 25. If you shoot a 3-inch group at 25 meters, that is fine. That is considered the standard. It's 9mm ball, man.
Well, and a perfectly good example of like the MOA, like, craziness and accuracy standards. So when you talking about PCCs and pistols here for a minute, a Bianchi Cup open gun, which is widely regarded as the sport that requires the highest level of precision amongst the, so-called action shooting sports, Steel Challenge, Bianchi, USPSA, IDPA, a Bianchi Cup open gun, the sort of gold standard for that is sub inch at 50 yards. All right. So like an inch group at 50 yards. And at this point we're talking about a $5,000 custom gun, right? Everything is hand fit, hand built, all of that stuff. And so, and that's not an inch at 50.
Which means your maintenance routine to keep it an inch at 50 is going to be insane.
Right. And an inch at 50 is 2 MOA. The gun's shooting 2 MOA, and that's really accurate. I have lever action rifles that are all of my lever guns are, around 2 MOA guns, right? Like, and that's me doing the very best job I can at shooting when I'm in that environment. And quite frankly, if I'm looking at a lever gun, what's my accuracy standard here? What am I realistically trying to do when I zero these guns? My 357, it doesn't matter, 357, 30-30, 45-70, I do the same thing with all of them. I zero them at 50 yards. shooting at a 2-inch circle, right? I'm trying to hit everything into the middle of the 2-inch circle, but if at the end of my zeroing process, the group is smaller than 2 inches at 50 yards with these lever guns, that's a good group, and it is and it is more than accurate enough for any sort of hunting that I'm going to do with this gun, right? Like that 50 yard zero will get me all the way out to 150 yards on an 8-inch target, which is about the limit of those guns anyways.
Yep. It's the realistic limit before stuff gets just too far out of your control. And if we want to jump into the world of precision rifles for a second there, let's talk about the M110. Who knows what Caleb, do you know what the actual legit 30 round test accuracy rating on the M110 is?
You know, I don't. I have them in our armory, and I have not actually read the T&E on the technical manual for it.
Mm-hmm. Everyone assumes, because it's a precision rifle, it's a sniper, it's a semi-automatic sniper system, right? The accuracy rating on that is 1.1 minute, 1.1 inches. Three 10-round groups in 1.1 inches at 100.
10-round groups in 1 point. That's actually pretty good. Damn, that's...
It is really good for a gas gun.
Three 10-round groups that all have to measure under 1.1 inches at 100 yards? Yeah, that's actually... Yep. That's insanely good.
That's a really, really good group. But guys, it's not sub-minute. It's right at a minute. It's not sub-minute.
Is it a mil? Is it under a mil? Is that why it's 1.1 inches? Is that why are we being fucked with by the metric system here?
It may be the metric system, and the wonderful thing about the metric system and mils, if we want to go down that rabbit hole, is mils aren't actually metric system; they just align properly with it.
I did not know that.
Mils are not actually a metric system calculation, and if you get into the exact numbers, it's not. It is a different measurement, but it aligns properly, therefore it might as well be metric.
Well,
kind of like minute of angle isn't standard English. It's not SAE. Just a minute lines up really closely to an inch. It's not exactly an inch, but it lines up really closely to an inch. So that we're doing exact. And we're then associating it with much more normal people math. So if you are correct and doing inches, or if you are British or European and doing metric system, it all makes sense. By the way, all precision shooting should be done in mils. It's much, much better.
It is. So I went to the FTW Ranch and did one of their long range classes not too long ago. Well, actually, it was almost 2 years ago now, but it feels like not too long ago. And, you know, they spent a lot of time talking about mils and this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, look, guys, I'm not smart. So we need to keep this as simple as possible. And I tell you what, I still, at the time, I got it. But the problem was, is they were talking mils and my scope was in MOA. So I'm like, I have a problem with this. So now my 6.5 that I have has a scope in mils, and I got to go back and fucking remember mils. I also need to re-zero that thing, because I think I dorked my zero when I did it. But that's a completely different story. Speaking of zeroing things, so let's go back to the whole sub-minute of angle thing, right? Like, so... Yep. You know, every manufacturer says that their rifle, if it's a bolt gun, is sub MOA accurate. And here's the thing, guys. I'm not saying this to trash rifle manufacturers. I did it with the Taurus Expedition, because with the right ammo that your rifle likes and in the right conditions, you can shoot a sub MOA group with it. That's what we're saying. Mm-hmm. So when a manufacturer is saying that this rifle is sub MOA, what they're saying is, in the right conditions, with the right projectiles and loads and all of that, this gun will produce sub MOA groups, assuming the shooter is capable of also producing some MOA groups.
And we're not talking that the manufacturers are going and putting together like any like that. I guarantee you they're using a factory match load, but they might be using a $4 a shot load to get that, you know, sub-minute group.
Perfectly good example. Here's a perfectly good example of this. So I have a Taurus Expedition in 6.5 Creedmoor. I shot it with the Federal Gold Medal match with Sierra Match King bullets, right? That is widely one of the most accurate loads out there.
That is gold medal match. It is to this day the gold standard for factory match ammo, right? Like
Right.
you can rely on that to take round.
So I shot it with the Federal Gold Medal match with the Sierra Match King bullets, and I shot a half MOA group at 100 yards, right? One of the best groups I've shot in my life. I was like, this is sick. Loaded it up with the Federal hunting load that uses the Barnes solid copper hollow point. The best group I could squeeze out of that gun at 100 yards was about 1.5 MOA. And I'm like, well, it just doesn't like this load as much as it likes the Federal Match King, the
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
As it much as it likes gold medal match. You know what I'm going to put in that gun when I take it hunting, when I take it deer hunting next year or later this year? The Barnes bullet, because one
The
and a half,
coppers.
yeah, the 1.5 MOA is more than accurate for any theoretical shot I would take on a whitetail in the South Atlantic region that I live in. So, people get,
In most of the continental United States.
yeah, if I was going to go like pronghorn hunting out in the West and I knew that, a 400 yard shot might be on the menu, maybe I'll go look for a load that's a little bit, the group's a little bit tighter than the Barnes. Maybe that, I'd shoot the Hornady ELDX out of it, but I don't know. I didn't shoot the ELDX, so I don't know how it groups with those. But regardless,
But
I think.
you could take five rounds and figure it out and say, all right, cool. Here's my group. It's awesome. When you get to your hunting zone, you fire another group. Cool. You make your final adjustments to your scope, and then you're fine.
Yeah, and then
You'll
you're
be good
done.
for your hunt.
I really do need to. I am trying to decide if I want to take that rifle to Africa with me or not. I took, as a side, I took the 308 expedition to Africa and really enjoyed that. And I kind of feel like, since there's only two expeditions, there's the 308 and the 6.5 for now. I feel like I should take the
The other one.
6.5 because I have it.
It's a
And
good round, and it's a good game round.
people. Yeah,
So
it's weird. Okay, hang on. Sidebar. Why do people hate on the 6.5 so much? Because I'm not, and people listening know that I am not a rifle guy. Like, it was only recently, like within the last couple of years, that I acquired more than one rifle chambered in a bottleneck cartridge.
yeah. I genuinely I can go into the reasons for the hate, but they all seem to be like made up and misunderstood information. And it seems the amalgamation of that are true, but really don't matter. One of the things I see that generates hate the most is the fact that 6.5 will eat through a barrel significantly faster, specifically shoulder wear. Inside the chamber, it's much more abusive on barrels than 308 is, and that has to do with the shape of the round and just what takes the pressure when the round goes off. So you will chew through a 6.5 barrel more quickly than you will a 308 or 7.62 barrel.
Yeah, but
The
that's like
thing
what?
is,
Like a
the round counts are
5,000
still
rounds?
absurdly high.
Yeah.
Yeah, three to like if you are chasing the gnat's edge of accuracy, which if it's a hunting rifle, you're not. Let's be honest, you're not. Even if you're shooting, 300, 400, 600 yards at game, you are not shooting the gnat's edge of accuracy. If you're shooting sub 1,000, you're not. You'll chew through barrels faster before you start losing like that primo accuracy on it, but it'll still be reasonably accurate for a longer period of time. But this goes back to that whole theoretically chasing these numbers versus what these numbers actually mean. Because if I took, and I'm not the only I'm going to throw a theoretical thing out there that other people are actually looking at. If I took a M240 or a similar belt-fed machine gun platform and I make it in 6.5, because I, you know, have gas guns equipped for certain individuals also in 6.5, do I need my machine gun?
240 would be really cool.
They exist and they're awesome. 6.5 belt feds do exist and they are awesome. But do I need that gun to maintain sub minute, which, you know, 6.5 is really good at because the projectile design, it's one of those funny things, right? We can get on to the top of why I continue to believe that despite the fact that I like 308, 308 shouldn't exist. We had the math to prove it all the way back in World War II. Prior to World War II, when we were developing the Garand, we knew this.
Listen, guys, we all love the 308, but the 308 exists because the Army Ordnance Board wanted 30-06 in a more compact package and didn't want to go to an intermediate.
They wanted 30-06 forever.
If we'd gotten like whatever it was, like the 264, which is basically a 6.5 cartridge, back in, you know, 1930, whenever the Garand was being designed,
The original Garand came out. They were designing it in two principal calibers. I think there were a few, but two principal calibers made it upward into heavier development trials, and they were 30-06 because we had a massive pile of 30-06 from the 1903s, and the MAC and the machine guns, and 276 Panderson.
That's it.
Is 6.8x51.
If we had
guess
gotten
what the army just fielded.
If we had gotten look, you know those memes where it's like the world if something had happened? Like if we had gotten an intermediate 6mm cartridge in the 1940s, we'd have flying cars and like robot servants, and it wouldn't be like the AI.
Tesla would not have gotten fucked over on all his inventions. We'd have wireless power for everything. Like If the Army Ordnance Board had not been so married to 30-06, the life would be so much better.
We'd have, you know, coast-to-coast high-speed rail in the United States. Like, we'd have maglev trains. That's the one.
We'd have maglev trains, flying cars. All our AI shit would work properly. It wouldn't be this garbage dump.
It'd be paradise. We'd be in it'd be a utopian paradise, guys. And all we needed was 264 or 257 or whatever the hell it was.
All we needed was 6.8 to take over when it should have.
The army got us again. Back to the MOA thing, you know, and with 6.5 being such a popular round that shoots, you know, that has a reputation for accuracy, I think as you know, as marketers, we've sort of shot ourselves in the foot by marketing everything as being sub MOA. The flip side to that is most things are sub MOA ish, right? Like, and that's the thing, guys. Is like you cannot expect your rifle to be sub MOA with every single projectile and every single factory load. Like some are just made nicer than others. You know, if you're shooting. And this isn't throwing shade at Remington Core-Locked, because Remington Core-Locked has probably killed more things on this planet than, you know, most other brands of bullet, right? But Remington Core-Locked is not a particularly – it's not widely known for its accuracy. So don't be surprised.
It's a 200-yard and in deer round.
Yeah. So don't be surprised when you're
– very good.
you're what is it? The Mossberg Patriot, I think, is there. Don't be surprised when you're Remington – or when your Ruger American doesn't shoot sub-MOA with Remington Core-Locked, guys. Like, it's not gonna. It's just – it won't.
Like, an example that I've got, like, you are citing the Expedition being sub-minute with a good – like, the gold standard of match ammunition. When I had a Tavor 7, one of the early Tavor 7s from IWI – great, awesome way to carry a compact 308, by the way, especially if you're wandering through bushes and shit like that. But when I shot that with regular Federal M80 ball, just the absolute bulk load 147 grain ball ammo, that gun shot 3 minutes, right? It was not super great with the ball. But then I went to, I think it was SIG's 150 grain solid copper, and copper, because it's less dense than lead, jacketed lead, that's a longer projectile. Longer projectiles tend to fly better. So my accuracy dropped under 2 minutes immediately. I didn't change grain weight that much, but I changed the projectile, and the accuracy tightened right up. Now, if I were to then go over to gold medal match, I'd probably be flirting with 1 minute. I don't think that gun would shoot under a minute, just based on design, trigger, and everything like that. It wasn't built as a minute gun, but you could flirt with a minute. The X95s can flirt with a minute with match ammo, but people will grab them and then they'll buy the, you know, least expensive 55 grain ball you can get, and then wonder why they're shooting three minutes or 4 minutes. And it's like, well, you've got a velocity range that's 150 feet a second plus or minus 75 feet on either side from your mean deviation. That, especially at 100, if you're doing true 100 round groups, that starts to add up in deviation. And yeah, that's fine. You just have to know what you're working with.
Yeah, if you're shooting, I mean, hell, if you're shooting 10 shot groups, right? Like, so perfectly good example.
The three shot group is the biggest lie in marketing.
The three shot group is a scam, guys. I just want you to know.
Is the biggest scam. The biggest scam in MOA marketing. Now, three shots is a group. You can zero off three shots, but it is not representative of the accuracy you're getting out of that gun, that ammunition, and you buying it.
No, perfectly good example. I have I've got a Rossi R95 and 4570, and I shoot subsonic 4570s out of it, right? The SD on those subsonic rounds, the standard deviation from shot to shot on those rounds is wild. And that's just what happens when you're shooting subsonic 4570. There's nothing inherently wrong or bad about it. It's just what it is. So if I magically pluck three rounds out of that box that are all going 910 feet per second, I can shoot a really tight, like 1.5-2 MOA group with it. But if I pluck a fourth and a fifth and a sixth and a seventh and an eighth and a ninth and a tenth round out of there, and I've got some that are going 850 feet per second and some that are going 1,000 feet per second, and they're all over the place, what happens to my group is it gets a fucking lot bigger than it already was. It gets it opens up, because that's what groups do when you have that kind of standard deviation. So that's why, you know, your pistol calibers, your are never going to do something like that. So
because that's ammunition that all lives in the realm of good enough, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not the gold medal match that's looking for an SD of like 25 or less, right?
Yeah. And like, when I shoot, you know, and when I shoot pistols, when I shoot rifles, you have to, like, here's the other big scam. And I will say, not so, this is a true statement. So I've written for all of the big publications, right? NRA, you know, OSG, all of those. Interestingly enough, when they are testing handguns, all of the big boys, all of the grown-up publications have a standard test that the writer has to run through. So we will assume for the moment that the writer actually does do these tests, and he shoots the 5.5 shot groups and this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, performs the test to the standard, so that when you see those results in your American Rifleman, those are legitimate results performed to the Rifleman's testing standard. You know who doesn't have standards? Internet people. And this is important because you see a lot of like really good groups get shot on Instagram and shot on social media and all of these other places, and you don't see the group actually being shot. You don't see the target being presented. There's nothing that goes with it. So I'm not saying that everybody is fudging their groups, and not at all. But some people are. Some people are shooting.
Some people definitely are, there's some fudging. There's some cherry picking. Or like they shoot it once, see the group that came about, and are just like, no, it's good. I don't have to do anything else. Like, I will just take this singular result. I won't look for repeated results.
Yeah. Why would I go do that again?
It might make me look bad on the internet.
A very common one that I've seen is pistol groups. People shooting groups with a pistol at like 10 or 15 yards and then saying that it's a 25 yard group. People have gotten caught doing that, and don't do that. Just shoot your groups. All right. If you can't shoot a good group at 25 yards, shoot, well, one, either get better at shooting or shoot the group at 15 yards and be like, hey, I shot this at 15 yards. And I can sort of extrapolate from there. All right. Well, this guy shot a 2-inch group at 15 yards. That's not terrible. There's a lot worse.
18 yards is 50 feet, guys. A 50-foot group is very legitimate for
Fun
information
fact.
purposes, especially on handguns.
Fun fact, 50 feet is actually 16.6 yards. And I know this because on one of my spreadsheets, I have the distance that I zeroed a pair of revolvers at, and everything's in yards, but I had shot them on a foot range. So I had to like do the math, and it's like 16.6 yards. I'm like, cool. That's the strangest distance I've ever zeroed a gun at. But guys, on that note, your rifle probably will shoot sub MO. Well, your bolt gun will probably shoot sub MOA. Your AR-15, if it's, just kind of your patrol, military, tactical rifle spec, probably won't unless you find a really good load for it. If you've got
It'll
like a,
probably shoot too.
yeah.
If you find a good round for it, it'll probably shoot too.
Your lever gun probably won't either, and that's okay. So the moral of today's story is don't get to get wrapped around the axle of MOA. And also, if a company says their gun has an MOA guarantee, it's probably with 3-shot groups, and they, shot gold medal match or whatever out of it, right? Like, and that's okay, because we got to
Just
do that too.
just understand the parameters in which the sub MOA get, and from the manufacturer side, they get they have to explain this a lot too, which is why they try and put it in the materials. Most manufacturers nowadays, they're not trying to lie to you. They aren't.
No.
They're trying to present you get this. This has to do with handguns, rifles, ammunition, suppressors, you name it. They're trying to present you good data. But because the number wars are such a big deal still, and they shouldn't be, it like people trying to chase that extra decibel on a suppressor is a good, is a good measure of that, right? People are going to be like, oh man, well, this one says it reduces at 28 decibels. This one only does 25. And I'm like, the air pressure can change that. The humidity level can change that. Like that is for a specific set of atmospherics and measurements. When what you want a suppressor to do, especially on something like a patrol rifle or a hunting rifle, is the same thing as what your earplugs do. And that's take the first 25 decibels or so. That's what you want it to do. And if it does that, if it takes 25-ish off it, it's a good suppressor, right?
That's pretty much it, guys. Like,
It's doing what it needs to do, because unless you're going into the, craziness of like subsonic ammunition, so you do need a, specific can setup and specific velocity on your ammunition to get the super, super quiet. If you're firing full power rifles, man, like shit's still loud.
it's gonna be loud.
All you're doing.
It is going to be loud. I mean, hell, I was shooting a suppressed 9 mil, and subsonics, great. Switched over to supersonics, and I was like, ooh, I'm gonna put my ears back on real quick. Just gonna.
I did that. I did that. Fun fact, I did that at GSL suppressors a couple of years ago. I brought my MP5 clone, my MKE Zenith MP5 clone down there, and I've shot regular 9 millimeter ball, so not subsonic ammo, but just regular 115 9 millimeter ball, and their can did phenomenally with it. Like definitely dampened it down quite a bit. Then I loaded 124 grain plus P's,
And you're like, oh, hang on one
and
second.
it got loud.
Yeah, you definitely want to have your ears on for that. All right, guys, that is it for this week. Your rifle probably is some other way. If it's a good bolt gun, if it's a quality bolt gun, shooting quality ammo. 3-shot groups don't count. In the real world, 3-shot groups don't count. And most importantly, go out there, have fun, shoot guns, leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify. Got you again. And we
Don't.
will be back next week with a new episode, guys.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.